And this morning, I wanna focus our attention on the power of every day. I had half a notion to call it the days of our lives, but I thought, no. Some of you I'm gonna slap you. You know, don't you? I can see you now watching that.
My mom.
You know, yeah.
Not his
mom. Okay. But the power of every day. Okay, let's read our text together. I want to start in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is what we call wisdom psalm. That there's some wisdom that this psalm imparts to us as it runs down, gives us kind of a historical survey of God, and in particular, of God and his workings, his dealings, the history of his people, Israel. And I want to read just a couple of verses there, so I want to draw your attention to something that is a part of Israel's history that can help us, I think, this morning as we talk about the power of every day. In Psalm 78, he addresses us, and he says, verses 23, he says, "Yet he gave a command to the skies above, and he opened the doors of heaven." So God worked a miracle for his people, that for their well-being, for their provision. You ever hear that phrase, you know, opening the windows of heaven, or the doors of heaven, right? And he did so because he provided for them manna. It says he rained down manna for the people to eat, and he gave them the grain of heaven. So here we see God as our Father making provision for his people's welfare, in particular for their physical well-being. He gave them food to eat, right? Call it manna. Now, let's go to Exodus and see where this first happened, okay? Exodus chapter 16. Back in Exodus, and if you're on, you know, wonderful to flip through the pages of the Bible or scroll wherever you got to go on your device, I don't care as long as you're able to go with me, Exodus 16. And here in Exodus 16, we see how this whole thing of God opening heaven and raining down from heaven to his people, manna. And it says here, and I want you to catch something, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven." You see it there? Verse 4. "Then the Lord said to Moses," okay, on this journey of yours, I'm going to make provision, I'm going to open up the doors of heaven, the windows of heaven, and I'm going to cause it to rain food down from heaven for your provision. Now, this is what I want you to see, okay? This is what we're after. And it says, the people are to go out how often?
Each day.
What's it say?
Each day.
Every day. And the people, this provision that God's given for the benefit, for the well-being, this people, he says, you're to go out every day. Now, it stands to reason. It stands to reason because we eat every day, right? And so every day we're going to go get something to eat. And so he stresses it here, and I want to stress it because I'm after something about the power of every day. And he says, you're going to go out every day and gather enough for that day. Gather enough for that day. All right. Let's just pray for a second. Lord, I pray that you would draw near to us by your Holy Spirit, and that you would bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. Amen. John Bunyan, some of you have heard of him, and he wrote the story about a Christian's journey in life to the next life. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. Any of you ever see it? Buy it. If you haven't read it, buy it. It's cheap enough. It's a great story. It's put in a story form of how it is that, as I said, we make our journey as Christians. Okay? And the opening line goes like this. He says, as I walk through the wilderness of this world. That's how it begins. As I walk through the wilderness of this world, and then he tells about dream that he had, and he puts to paper the dream that he had about Christian life. And I want to mention, I want to focus on that for a moment, the wilderness of this world. And it draws parallel to the situation in Exodus that we just read, and God raining down manna. The situation with Israel in the wilderness was met. The situation with Israel in the wilderness was met by God providing for them to make it through the wilderness. One of the ways was he opened the windows of heaven and gave them something to eat. And by that, they were unable to make it. And as Bunyan put it, our Christian lives, and we have to see ourselves in this world walking through a wilderness. Now, a wilderness is not a friendly place, usually. It's not a friendly place. There are dangers there, depending on the wilderness. You know, where the wilderness is, what kind of wilderness it is, but every wilderness speaks of not a friendly, habitable place. You got to be careful, because if you're not, you can lose it pretty quickly. And so the situation of Israel, when God delivered them from their captivity in Egypt, we speak about that. And God delivered them. When I experienced the miracle of new birth in my life and God delivered me from the captivity of my sins, he set me off on a journey of walking with him. And that journey is very much like Israel's journey through the wilderness, even as Bunyan said. Your Christian life and mine is like going through a wilderness. And I want to tell you something, there's lots of dangers. Lots of twists and turns. You can get lost easily if you don't keep your head about you, don't keep your wits about you. If you're not prepared for the adventure. Got to be careful. Now, one of the things that we have before us here that is plain, and that is this, that God, as I said, has made provision for us, for you and me, in this wilderness venture. That in the same way that he provided manna for them, God has provided for us. Now, without that manna that they had to go and get every day, they would not have made it to the end of their journey. We see that clearly. When they made it to the end of their journey, we're told that the manna stopped. Stopped, didn't need it anymore. They made it to the end. And you can believe that God has made it, made provision for us, right here, his word, provision of manna, his word, for you and me to make it to the end of where he wants to bring. Without this, you don't make it. I don't make it without this. It's impossible to journey as a Christian without the manna of his word. So as we're talking about Spiritual Life Week, here's where we begin. His word. This is where it's all happening. And so today, this day, right now, this moment in which I feel alive and I have presence. And as I gather all of my thoughts, not to be thinking about the shepherd's pie that I'm going to be eating this afternoon and try to reel it in because I'm hungry. And other things that I'm going to be doing, going to the gym, and future stuff. No, I reel it up. I'm here now. I'm I want to be present to this situation right now. So today, as I am here and present to this moment, and present to the ever-present God, who is also here and with us today. Today is a good day. This is a new year, and I'm grateful that in this new year there are new mercies. Aren't you glad that here we are in 2015, a new year, there are new mercies for you and for me. And this year there is new grace for you and for me. There's new mercies now. And so today is a good day to pay attention to new habits. To new habits. To pay attention, I want to draw your attention, you know, to some new habits or to strengthen habits that you may already have in your life as pertains to your spiritual well-being. Okay? Over and over again in the scripture, he always says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not a year from now. You know, I need just a little bit of time. Let me think about it. Let me get this thing on it. No, it's now. Now, with God, it's not now or never. It could come to that. But he always says, today. And so here you are, here I am, face to face, ever present to the moment, ever present to the moment. Before our God. Some of you might have heard the name for Dostoevsky. If you haven't, that's okay. He's a great novelist. How many of you have heard of Crime and Punishment? He wrote that book, of course. Well, there's something that I heard from him, read from him years ago now, I think. And he said, and it has helped me over the years, he said that a man's, the second half of a man's life is made up of the habits he acquired in the first half of his life, or a person's life, he said. So that all the habits that we form, first half of our lives, you can bet your bottom dollar that you're going to continue with those habits well into the next half of your life. I can... Now, well into the second half of my life, sad. Well into the second half of our lives, the countdown to 60.
Oh, you had to add Sandy in there.
It's a good thing. I'm not bemoaning that. It's a wonderful season. But well into the second half, I can vouch for Dostoevsky's statement. There are habits that I formed in the first half of my life, in the first half of my spiritual life, that are as natural, are as second, they're second nature to me. The flip of the calendar for me is also the beginning. I'm back in Genesis, starting again to read my way through the Bible. Try as I may, and I develop other schemes. Well, I'm going to, and I do, and I all work them. And I say, well, you know, I'm just going to focus on this scheme of my Bible study, my Bible reading. Try as I may, now I can't do that. The habit has been so formed early on in my life that I must read. It just wouldn't be right if I didn't read through the entire Bible. It just wouldn't be right. It's been a habit that I'm continuing to live in the second half of my life that I formed in the first half of my life. And, you know, I'm grateful, and I have to throw this in there, that because of the Holy Spirit, old dogs can learn new tricks. Because he tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 that by the Holy Spirit, a transforming work continues to go on in our lives, whether we are, you know, 5 or 59. Doesn't matter. Age has, there's, you know, is it harder for the Holy Spirit to change a 59-year-old than it is a 5-year-old? He's got his work cut out for him at 59. Not because I just have my ways. Stuck in my ways. He's up to the challenge, though. I'm grateful for that. And so, it doesn't take long before weakness sets into our bodies, our minds, our emotions, if we don't exercise them. Did you ever notice that? Yeah, doesn't take long. Boy, we could spend a lot of time on that, but we know that. It's self-evident to all of us, right? Maybe some of the internal things about us aren't so obvious, but you know as well as I do that, as you're going to find out on Wednesday, but you don't go without food for long before you're feeling what? I'm dying, right? Hunger creeps in and you feel weak. You eat something, and by that food, immediately you're what? You're okay. There again, up and ready to go. It doesn't take long for weakness to set in if we don't exercise our brain. It was interesting, some of you, have you seen the movie Unbroken yet? Shelter. It isn't really, but one of the things that happens to people who are marooned, such as they were on the ocean and open ocean and raft for so many days, is that people have gone insane, literally out of their mind. And what they discovered, though, was that if you can force your mind to come up with something to activate it, you will stay sane. They did. After they talked about baseball, they did all kinds of things, remembering stats, all this stuff to keep their mind occupied. And once again, that if we, fail to exercise our brains, guess what? It grows weak. And emotions as well. Whatever it is, and you can believe. That there is not only no difference, but a strong spiritual life will compensate for any other weakness that I may have. See, the correlation is not only the same, that if we pay no attention to our spiritual well-being, we'll grow weak, but if we do pay attention to it, and we're strong spiritually, there's a ripple effect, if you will. There's a connection. In fact, in Psalm 18 and verse 14, or Proverbs, I'm sorry, Proverbs 18 and 14, the wise man says, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness. You hear that? So that in sickness, whatever it be, emotionally, physically, mentally, there could be a weakness brought there, but if there is health in your spirit, in your inner person, in your heart, in the inner part of yourself, that strength will touch those other areas of weakness. He says it. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness. But then it says, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? You're weak there. You gotta be weak all over. Easy pushover in so many ways. And so I like the way Peterson puts it in the Message. He says, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. Wow. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. So that if I'm paying attention to my spiritual well-being, there are adversities that I'm going to face. Don't you wish there were a pill you can take? Take the pill. It's instant immunity to adversities. Don't you just wish there were a button you can push? Push the button. Okay, adversity free. Life is going to be just one continual, joyful ride of bliss. It's not that way ever at all. Right? And so he says, though, a healthy spirit, though not an immunity against it, there is a way through it to conquer it. That we don't have to succumb to it, but we can overcome it. How? By being spiritually healthy. Sounds simple, doesn't it? And guess what? It really is. simple to say. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. And so I just want to draw your attention to just five quick things. I'm not going to give commentary on that. I'm not. Just a couple things I'll say about that. No long commentary. Five things. Here we go. So we're talking about now, watch, the practical, the everyday practice of devotion. The everyday practice of devotion will do your heart good, will do your mind good, will do your body good. The everyday practice of devotion. You ready? You with me? Here we go. Here's the first of the five. The first is this. For heaven's sake, use the power of every day. Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, what? Give us this day our daily bread. Okay. I hate using cliches, but it fits, and maybe I'm speaking to the right crowd. Sorry for the offense. How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time. You know? So, you know, it's like you can look at, you know, I read my Bible every day and pray. You know, 365 days this year, and I'm going to say, well, you know, the power of every day. A little bit every day adds up. It adds up. The power of every day, of doing something daily. Instead of looking at it like, boy, I got to read this, you know? If you read a little bit of it every day, by the end of day 365, guess what? For most of us, you'll be through the whole thing. For others, I don't know. Where you'll be. But that's easy, right? So that's the first one. You know, every day, the everyday practice of devotions begins with utilizing the power of every day. Every day. The everydayness of our lives. Take little bites every day. Here's the second one. You ready? A.W. Tozer, tremendous books that he has written. I forget where he says, makes this statement. Maybe in The Root of the Righteous, maybe in The Pursuit of God. Classic, The Pursuit of God. But he says this. He said, God can only be known satisfactorily as we spend time with him. How many of you have seen the new commercial for it's a dating commercial or whatever? And it's the whole thing is, you know, before you actually, you know, end up at the altar and I love you, it begins with what? Like. I like it. I like the commercial. There's a realism about it. You know, it shows a couple coming together and just, hey, you know, let's start out with coffee. You know? And all this stuff, you know, love at first, wonderful, you know, and you see yourself at the altar, you have a cup of coffee together, you know, and then invite each other over to eat, and, you know, bad stuff happening, because that's the way life goes, and let's start out with life, and this whole idea of, you know, getting to know someone takes what?
Time.
And here's the second one. The second one is this: pick a time and space to do your devotion. Pick a time and space. A space, not in space. Pick a time and space. Pick a time and space. So that it really works towards this whole idea of, you know what, I'm getting to know a person. God, who is a person. And getting to know God as a person isn't formulaic. See, so that this whole thing of doing devotions isn't the kind of thing where I am, you know, I got it down to a formula where I got steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. I push the, you know, I take those steps, I push the button on those steps, and whammo, I got them all figured out. No. God is a person, I'm a person. And that happens through discovery, through mysteries, through surprises, through connection, through talking, through time well spent. And the idea behind the space is that, you know, you got your chair. You got your corner of the room. You got that place where you can go to, that sanctuary for you from your phone, from the kids, from the dog, from the cat, from either. But it's your space, and it's your time, and without it, you're not going to take advantage of the power of every day if you don't do this. If you do, oh, how that power works for you. How that power works for you. Okay? So we're on number three. Here's the third one that goes along with it, and that's this. Commit to it. Commit to it. The practice, everyday practice of devotions. Commit to it. Well, I think maybe I might try. And you're done. Forget it. You know, the year's going to pass. You're going to look back on the year, and it's going to be, wow, where did the time go? You know, I read the first verse of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that's as far as I got. What happened? What happened was you didn't what? Commit to it. We know these things. Is this anything new? No. This is nothing new. How many times have you heard me say, and I don't tire of saying these things all the time. Now, here's one of the best ways, though, to commit to it. One of the best ways to commit to the practice of everyday devotions is set a goal. Set a goal for yourself. Sandra and I have started exercising. We go to the gym. And, you know, for me, it's like, you know, right, the goal, good health, it ought to be enough, right? Set a goal where you're going to get healthy, you're going to get buffed at the beach. I'm going to have no shame in having my shirt off this summer. What a joke. If you knew me, you'd be laughing. But the goal is, you know, I've been talking to her and saying, you know, the goal is that, you know, maybe this spring, this summer, that we'll find a 5K race run that maybe they're going to do to benefit, whatever, for this or that, and we'll sign up for the 5K. That'd be our goal. Well, now I've got a little bit more motivation going on. You understand? A little bit more motivated. See, I set a goal now. So why? I got to get to the gym. You know, I'm doing a mile. I'm doing a mile and a half. You know, I got to get up to where I can push that 5K button on that machine. Because my goal is come this, I want to be out there. So set a goal. Now, how do you set a goal when it comes to your devotion? It can go something like this, okay? In my Bible right here, there are Hamana, there are 1,094 pages in this. Now, so I'm going to set the goal. My goal is I want to read the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, through this year. That's my goal. Every day I want to read a little bit to make it come December 31st, wonderful day, by the way, that when I get to that, I will be reading the last pages of my Bible, having worked through it. Well, you take that number, 1,094 pages, and you divide it by 365 days. When I do that with this, I come up with, I think it's like 2.93 pages. So every day if I read 1, 2, 3 pages, what the heck is that? Nothing. If I read that much every day, by the end of the year, guess what? I will have eaten at all. Simple. Now, you can set any kind of goal you want. In other words, you say, well, you know what, I want to read, well, you know, let me start up with the New Testament. So take the number of pages of the New Testament. Don't divide it by 365 because you'll be reading like a paragraph. But say 180 days. You're going to read through it twice in a year. Well, divide it by 180 days. So set a goal. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read through the New Testament twice this year. You said, I'm going to read through the New Testament, and I'm going to read through the book of Psalms and Proverbs. If you read a psalm, if you read five psalms and a proverb a day, in 1 month, you'll have read through the whole book of Psalms and Proverbs. You just set some goals for yourself when it comes to doing your devotions daily. Set a goal. Okay, simple enough. Here's number four. Mix it with prayer. Mix it with prayer. So that, how many of you saw the movie? It's okay. You've got me. Anyways, there's a part in there where, what's his name?
Tommy.
No, I know. What's his name in the movie? Fox. Fox. Where he's with Nicole Kidman?
No.
Meg Ryan, what's her name in the movie? Anyways, he put her out. He's a conglomerate. Book. He's got a big bookstore, right? She's a little mom and pop store. He puts her out of business. Moves in on the corner, puts her out of business. She's, right, ugly at him. You've seen the movie. Remember the conversation where they're sitting down, he visits her when he's sick, whatever. And he likes her, right? They've been corresponding, unbeknownst to each other via AOL. You got mail. It's crazy, I know, corny, but I like the line where he says to her, you know, in trying to win her, he says, you know, it's only business. And she says, what? What's he say? What's she say to him? Well, it may be business to you, but to me it was what?
Personal.
It's not, Yeah, he says to her, it's not personal, it's business. She says, well, it may be business to you, but to me it's what? Very personal. So mix it with prayer. Make it personal. You're not just reading to read your 3 pages a day. You're not just reading so that you complete the goal, but you're reading to take time to get to know God. So you're going to talk, you're going to communicate. You know, you're going to mix it with prayer. How do you mix it? How do you mix it with prayer? One of the best ways, but God, speak to me from my reading. That's your prayer. God, as I read, to speak to me from you. He speaks. God talks. He's got a voice. God, speak to me today. See, God, work in my life like this. Like you're working. Like I see what you're saying here. Work that into my life, God. So you're mixing it with prayer. See, take the actual words that you're reading, you know, and turn them into prayer. Take those words, you know, themselves and pray those, turn them into prayer. And by that, are you mixing the word with prayer, but you're making it what?
Personal.
And it's not business. Come on now, I'm talking straight here. The last one, we made it all the way through with very little commentary, and that is this. My approach to the Word, when I come to the Word, my whole approach to the Word of God is this. My approach, my attitude, the motivation that I have, not completely, but part of the motivation I have in reading it, is that this Word becomes formative in my life. Formative. So that I am, that this Word forms, not just informs my life, but forms my life. Because it is, in very truth, transforming power. So we talk about the power of every day, getting into the Word. This is a powerful book. These are powerful words. And by my approach being where I am I am coming to this word and I am saying, I want this word to form who I am, to form how I think, to transform my character. It will do exactly that in your life and in mine. It has transformative power. Awesome. It has transformative power. And so there you have it, the five things. Practice every day. The everyday practice of devotions. Right there. And then, you know, when you come to the ending, not only will you not make the mistake of thinking that it was Moses who built the ark and called all the animals on it, to embarrass yourself, but you'll have a better feel for how is it that I could have the kind of relationship that Moses had with God when I read about the life of Moses. Let alone, in this situation of my life right now, how does the Word of God play into it that's alive and well in my life? Without this, you might as well stay home. Don't venture out your front door. It's risky business, Frodo. Stepping out your front door. You never know where it's going to take you. You just never know. You need this. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Is that cool?
Good.
And, okay, I'm done. We're going to pray. Good. Oh, wow. Let's stand together in the presence of the Lord. We pray. Close it up. We did a lot.